First John, third chapter, or second chapter. First John, chapter 2. We've been looking at verse 18 through the end of the chapter the last couple of weeks. Mostly want to see the results of what we read in verse 20 and in verse 27. Verse 20, we read, "But you have an unction from the Holy One. The result of that is, and you know all things." Verse 27, "But the anointing," that describes the unction. It's an anointing. "But the anointing which you have received of Him," that is from the Holy One, "abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." Seeing again the last 2 weeks that one of the results of this anointing is a knowledge of truth. The Holy Spirit, of course, is our teacher. And in a world that does not know God, in a world that is quite ignorant of truth, quite oblivious to the blessings of God, it's good to know. It's good to be able to know some things. And the Holy Spirit that dwells within us gives us that knowledge. Now, this knowledge gives us safety. It can save our lives. This knowledge also gives us some optimism as far as the return of the Lord. We know why things are happening the way they're happening, and we see the Lord has everything in control. So this knowledge gives optimism. This knowledge gives firm footing, or causes us to be steadfast. It causes us to be able to grip onto something. And we see the world today is trying desperately to find something to hold onto, but in their limited knowledge, they cannot find anything to hold onto. Everything they hold onto slips out of their hand. But we see we that have the Spirit of God, we have a place to stand. We have a place where we can place our feet. In this knowledge is direction. We have some direction in our life. I mean, you look at the majority of people today, and it's as if they're just wandering with little or no direction in their life. But we have this unction. We have this anointing. That, of course, guides us, but the knowledge that the Holy Spirit of God gives us also guides us, so we have direction. So here we are in the last time, according to verse 18. And yet, in this last time, we can have knowledge. And this knowledge is an assurance. We can have assurance that all is well. We can have assurance that God is in control. So in a world that is just filled with trouble, a world that is filled with distress and difficulty, you and I can have assurance. That is, we know. And the Bible teaches that children of God can have assurance. Again, Job 19, verses 25 through 27. "I know that my Redeemer liveth." I know. I am certain of this. So we have an assurance. And all this while, the world is saying, well, we really can't know anything for sure. But you and I have an assurance. And it's a result of this unction. There is such a thing as full assurance. Notice in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 2. Colossians 2, verse 2, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance." Full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Full assurance of understanding. That's possible in a world today that again lacks assurance. Notice over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. Hebrews 6, verse 11. We read here of the full assurance of faith. Hebrews 6, verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope, the full assurance of hope unto the end. So there is that hope, and we have full assurance in our hope. And why? Because it's based upon firm ground. It's based upon the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So there's that full assurance of faith. We have full assurance of understanding. That understanding is based upon the Word of God. We have full assurance of hope. That hope is founded in the Word of God. We have full assurance of faith, and that faith is again based on thus saith the Lord. So the life of a child of God should be a life of knowledge. It should be a life of assurance, knowing that what the Spirit of God has shown us is true. We want to consider today another result of this unction or this anointing. We have the knowledge, but there's also perseverance. In this unction, in this anointing, the child of God is able to continue on. Now, the Bible teaches very plainly that perseverance is required in a child of God. Two different doctrines. It's really two different sides of the same coin. But you have preservation. That is the eternal security of the believer. That's what God does for us. You and I do nothing to preserve ourselves. So we have preservation. That preservation, of course, you have to base it upon something. And we base it upon what God does in saving a soul and the fact that God is sovereign. The other side of that coin is perseverance. The Bible teaches very plainly that one who is truly saved will continue. And that is also the work of God, but it's the work of God in us. The reason that the child of God will persevere, it's not that our salvation is dependent upon our perseverance, but we will persevere because the Holy Spirit is in us, working in us. And every child of God has that. So every child of God will persevere. Now in 1 John 2, if we go back there, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 John 2, verse 19. They went out from us. Okay, here were some people that did not continue. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. Now that's true in church capacity. The Lord doesn't add everybody to one of his bodies. And sometimes people will go out from us. And they go out from us many times because they were not of us. The Lord never did add them. So they, to make that manifest, and we ought to be thankful for that, they go out from us. That's also true in salvation as well. Sometimes we like to say, well, they're backslidden. I don't believe people backslide for 20 years. I don't believe that. I don't believe a child of God stays backslidden the majority of their life. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. The Spirit of God works in an individual. And many times those we refer to as backslidden, they're not backslidden, they're lost. They're not saved. And they went out from us to manifest that fact. So he mentions here, there are those who went out from us, they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. So that teaches us there is a difference between a profession of faith and possession. Those who possess the unction, those who possess the anointing, will continue. Now the Word of God teaches that one who is truly saved will continue. They will continue on. They will keep on going. I'm not saying they never get off track. I'm not saying they never fall into the ditch. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when they do get off track, in time they get back on track. And if they do fall in the ditch, in time they get out of the ditch because they continue on. And the reason for this is because the Spirit of God works within them. In the book of Matthew chapter 10, the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, Matthew 10 verse 22, "And you shall be hated of all for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved," or shall be delivered out of the hands of those who hate them. But notice, "he that endureth to the end." Hebrews says that he saves to the uttermost. He saves to the uttermost. That is, when God saves a soul, he saves it completely. And that individual has the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And as a result of the Spirit of God dwelling in them, they are able to endure some things. They are able to tolerate, if you will, some things. So go on to the book of John chapter 8. The book of John chapter 8. And we'll read verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." You see, continuing in the word is a fruit, is a result. You don't have to continue in order to be saved. Again, keep this straight. You continue because you are saved. And they will continue in the Word. Now, again, we're not saying that they'll never fall to the side, but they will be back. They will be restored, those who know the Lord. So they will, true disciples will continue. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We'll read verse 4, we'll read verse 6, we'll read verse 9. Jesus says in verse 4, "Abide," which is continuing, "abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself," that's always true. That's always true of you and I, "except it abide in the vine." So if you take those words, "the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine." Any fruit that we bring forth is a result of what? It is a result of us abiding in the vine. That is the result of abiding in the vine. The result of abiding in the vine is fruit. So if someone never produces fruit, what does that tell you? A branch by itself cannot produce fruit. They're not abiding in the vine. But we see this, the Spirit of God causes us, enables us to abide in the vine. And we go on to verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Again, same truth is being taught again. That branch severed from the vine can do nothing. It's not going to produce fruit. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue. And that's what it means to abide. Continue ye in my love. So Jesus says, continue. Continue. And again, that's what a child of God will do. A child of God will continue. They will, and that's perseverance. And the reason we persevere is because the Spirit of God is working within. In the book of Acts chapter 14, verse 22. This, it goes back to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. But you see, through that tribulation, the child of God, because of the anointing, because of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, the child of God is able to continue on. The child of God is able to just keep on going. Notice in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 19 through 22. Again, keep in mind, these things are not necessary in order to be saved. In other words, you do not persevere in order to get saved. You persevere because you are saved. It is a result of salvation. It is a result of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, then what thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, talking about the Jews, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Two attributes of God. Goodness and severity. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. And when they're cut off, what does that manifest? They went out from us because they were not of us. It's just a manifestation. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 21 through verse 23. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Notice, continue in the faith, and that ye be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Then notice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, Hebrews 10, verse 38 and 39. Now the just, that is the justified, the saved, shall live by faith. It's not that they might, they will. And the reason they will, again, is because of that unction, because of that anointing. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them. Who are the we? The just. The just who live by faith. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The Word of God very plainly teaches that a saved individual will persevere, that a saved individual will continue, that a saved individual will be able to endure. That is, they'll be able to last. They will remain. They will abide. They will hold on. Now, we know for the saved individual, it is through much tribulation that we must enter the kingdom of God. But we are equipped with the Holy Spirit that enables us to endure these things. And the Bible teaches us that there are some things that we will have to endure. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, Paul told Timothy, endure afflictions. Endure them. Now, we can't just work up the strength to endure these. That's not necessary. It's not necessary for you to try to work up the strength. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And that's all you need to be able to endure the afflictions. The Spirit of God gives us the grace that we need in those hours of affliction. But again, the child of God endures. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Now that says a lot more than if you're chastened, you're a son of God. Now that's true. If we're chastened, that is a sign of sonship, and these verses teach that. But it says more than that. It says if ye endure chastening. You see, a child of God, because of the Spirit of God dwelling in them, not only is chastened by God, but is able to endure. Is able to endure the chastening. And that endurance, again, is the same as perseverance. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. The saved individual, like anyone else, is going to have temptation. The reason we have temptation is because within us is sinful flesh. And our sinful flesh desires things that are contrary to God, desires things that are not pleasing to God. So therefore, we are tempted. But the child of God endures temptation because of the Spirit of God that indwells them. We're, notice in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. It's not just talking about enduring grief and suffering. It's talking about being mistreated. It's talking about having grief in your life because someone has done you wrong. It's talking about having suffering in your life because someone has done you wrong. Well, I just quit going to church. I'm tired of those people anyway. That says a lot. This verse says you'll endure it. And that's what a saved person will do because of the Spirit of God that dwells within them. If as soon as affliction comes, as soon as trial comes, if our first inkling is to quit and to throw in the towel, we'd better carefully examine ourselves. And we all know individuals. They're no longer here because they had a trial in their life. And they're gone. They've been gone for years. Well, what does that say? Well, according to these verses, they went out from us because they were not of us. So we need to, if we're saved, we will persevere. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, he said, I endure all things. And you think about all the things that Paul endured. He said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. I do it for the sake of the children of God, Paul is saying. I endure all things. And he was able to endure all things. Not just because he had a strong constitution, but because he had the Spirit of God abiding in him. So this anointing causes us to persevere. Now if we go back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, we saw in verse 19, they went out from us because they were not of us. But then we have verse 20. But ye. Talking about the saved. But ye, that is in contrast to those who go away. But ye have an unction. Implying that those who went away do not have this unction. But ye have an unction from the Holy Spirit, or from the Holy One. So what is the difference? What is the difference between those who stayed and those who went away? The difference is that unction. The difference is the Holy Spirit. The difference is the indwelling of the Spirit of God. The difference between continuing and not continuing is that unction. Is that anointing? Is the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He's not dormant. Wherever the Holy Spirit dwells, He's active. And the Spirit of God is in us and He's acting. And what I mean by that is He's doing something. He's doing something. You can no longer sin and not feel guilty about it. Not if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. He convicts. He pierces our conscience. He's energetic within the saved. Notice in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. In verse 8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. He works effectually or effectively. In Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision to the Jews, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. The same was mighty in me. And that's true of all of us that are saved. The same Holy Spirit that indwelt Peter, the same Holy Spirit that indwelt Paul, the same Holy Spirit is mighty in me, the same Holy Spirit is working, the same Holy Spirit is energetic. He's active in me. And because of that, the child of God will persevere. It's not a question of if. The child of God will persevere. And by persevering, we manifest that indeed God has saved us. Indeed, there is a difference. Indeed, the Spirit of God is indwelling within us. We've run out of time, so let's look to the Lord.